and welcome to Northwestern Mutual's Perspectives. Each month, we'll talk about current news and what's going on in the world and how that may impact you and your finances. Your hosts are Ron Jolson, Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of Northwestern Mutual, and Mark McLennan, Vice President of Investment Advisory Services with Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and we'll notify you when a new segment is available. Thanks for joining us, and now I'll hand it off to Ron and Mark.
Well, thank you for joining us. This is Mark McLennan. I'm happy to be here again with Ron Jolson. Ron, can I assume you're happy to be here as well?
I'm so happy I wish there were two of me.
So do I. Might be easier to schedule these.
It would be.
Well, last month on this podcast, we talked a little bit about consumer sentiment and about how that's only one thing that really impacts the economy and the markets. It seems, however, there's not much of anything that's really, really impacting the markets, whether it's consumer-driven, government-driven, foreign, domestic. You know, rates don't seem to be going wild. The equity markets seem to be, I guess I'd say, on hold a bit. Any general comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit last time about this so-called immunization factor, where the news seems to have to get worse and worse and worse for the market to be impacted. And that seems to be continuing right now. Another way of saying that, I think, is that the market has priced in a certain amount of unrest. I think it's priced in overall slow U.S. economic growth. It's probably priced in no growth in Europe and no growth in Japan. And I think basically a slow Fed in terms of accommodation, in other words, continuing to accommodate, but slow to take their foot off the gas. And so until one of those things changes, we may be in this period where, you know, rates moving around in a range and equity markets not moving up too much. And then, of course, we see in the news a rotation of issues, you know, whether it's unemployment to China, to Europe, to Asia, and Russia, of course, and Ukraine, and just kind of a rotation, and whichever one of those is simmering, we hear about it. But unless one of those goes off into a place that we haven't seen before, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of market movement.
Okay, well, so with nothing really specific that we might want to talk about now, maybe we can talk a little bit about some fundamentals. I mean, we never promised there'd be no math in these, but could we talk a little bit about interest rates, the dollar, inflation? Would that be okay with you?
That would be good.
Okay, why don't we start with the good old George Washington? With everything that is going on in the world, as you mentioned, the U.S. does seem to be a pretty stable place, you know, relatively. And if you ask the average person on the street, myself included, whether any particular global event would cause a strengthening or maybe a weakening of the dollar, you might get that kind of dog staring at the ceiling fan look. So what are your thoughts on the dollar, and what does that actually mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fascinating to see the dollar at a 6-year high versus the yen and 10-month high versus the pound. And so I think it's become somewhat obvious that the ECB and Japanese central bankers are going to be the first or will be easing and keeping those rates low. And so, of course, that means the treasury markets in the U.S. are more attractive, the rates are higher. And so, no surprise, we're seeing the dollar strengthen. And I think that's likely to continue for a while. I think the fundamentals that stand behind the stronger dollar relating to the underlying economy are real. And as long as they are real, we'll probably see that trend for a while. We have our foreign hedges fully in place as a result of that, and I've been very happy with that positioning. And I see no reason to take those hedges off. So to me, that's another way of saying, from an institutional perspective, we see that strong dollar to be with us for a while.
Okay, very helpful stuff. Okay, I've heard the phrase, the new neutral. I mean, we had the new normal a few years ago, now the new neutral, which indicates more a sentiment that, you know, maybe inflation, even if when it does come back, it won't be as high long term as it has been in the past. Maybe something more like 2.5%, 3% versus 4%. I know the CBO was saying they were thinking it'd be probably 2% or less than 2% for the foreseeable future. Also, the break-even point has come down on TIPS, or those inflation-protected government securities, that kind of indicates the same type of sentiment. I think even in Europe with the 5-year forward swap rate, it looks like the same thing, even though they may want inflation. So if you forget about the Fed for a second, what are some of the factors that, you know, fundamentally might impact rates?
Let's step back for a minute. So we're seeing the rates hovering around this 250 range. You know, recently we saw a low of 230. Second half of last year, the 10-year was at 275. It was an average of 175 in 2012. And let's not forget, not that long ago in the pre-crisis 2003-6 range, we had a 10-year of 445. Today, though, we're seeing Germany at 0.9% and France borrowing money at 1.25%. Spain, an amazing 215 versus our 250. Did we ever expect that? And as you know, Mark, being considerably older than you look, we haven't seen rates that low since the 18th century in Europe. But the question that's interesting to me is why, and it's very different reasons for what's going on in Europe and what's happening here. So in Europe, I think we're seeing weakness. In Europe, there's the belief that the central banks are going to continue to put their foot on the gas that will artificially keep rates low, and we know how that's happened over here. And the growth prospects are pretty bad. Whereas in the U.S., our somewhat relatively higher rates, modestly higher, but higher nonetheless, are all about the growth prospects that we see here. Europe being still in deleverage mode, we're pretty much done with our deleveraging. Eurozone likely to have low inflation. They worried more about deflation. We are less so. So our fundamentals are much stronger. I still don't see deflation in the U.S. as being a problem because I see enough strength in the underlying growth patterns to suggest that it's real, and 215 doesn't seem like a lot in terms of inflation, but it's sort of steady, and there's enough pressure in certain markets to suggest that I think it's more real and more likely to be a higher number than a lower number. That's the way I would put it. So our rates, while they're low and they do reflect a generally low growth pattern, the fact is the reason they're higher makes sense in terms of the U.S. outlook being better. And of course, we're seeing, even in the latest numbers, earnings are looking okay in the third quarter. The early indications are that they continue. So I think we've got just much better fundamentals. But could it be low for long? Yeah, lots of things could happen. Let's look at the factors, or the fundamentals as you put it, that could result in low rates being here for a long time. If growth languages, if inflation really actually does go the other way or stays at this 2% level for a long time, if the Fed decides to stay accommodative, if the geopolitical risk ends up becoming more important, those are some things that could result in us being low for long. But I still think the fundamentals suggest that that's not going to happen. I think within the next couple of years, you still will start to see rates come up because of the underlying strength.
Okay, you mentioned, you know, if the Fed stays accommodative. They have this stated mission to keep inflation in check and also to maximize employment at the same time. So what do you think about this chatter from them, actually, to get back to emphasizing that future actions will be based more on how that dual mandate is going rather than what's been happening where they're issuing projections of dates and rates?
Well, I think that's a little bit overstated. It is what people are saying, but I do think the Fed in general is more concerned about economic growth as opposed to inflation. I think we've heard Yellen say it pretty directly. We've heard Vice Chairman Fisher say it, and we've heard Bill Dudley from the New York Fed go in that direction. So because of that, I think what you can expect out of the Fed is that their policy is going to lag the economy. They're going to wait to see more and more positive signs before they do anything. And part of this goes back to this issue of the Fed not wanting to send a market signal. And so therefore, they want to see action and activity happen quite a bit before they actually make a move. I mean, that's just the way I see it for now.
Well, once again, you provided some great information, and I personally look forward to our chat next time. Thanks.
Well, you should, because I know how much you love your work.
Well, thank you.
Northwestern Mutual is the marketing name for the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and its subsidiaries offering life insurance, disability insurance, and annuities. Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is a subsidiary of Northwestern Mutual and a limited-purpose federal savings bank offering investment management, trust services, and fee-based financial planning. Northwestern Mutual Investment Services, LLC, is a subsidiary of Northwestern Mutual, broker-dealer, registered investment advisor, member, FINRA, and SIPC, offering securities. The opinions expressed are those of Northwestern Mutual as of the date stated on this recording and are subject to change. There is no guarantee that the forecast made will come to pass. The materials do not constitute investment advice and is not intended as an endorsement of any specific investment or security. Information and opinions are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources. All investments carry some level of risk, including the potential loss of principal invested. Indexes and/or benchmarks are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Returns represent past performance and are not a guarantee of future performance and are not indicative of any specific investment. Diversification and strategic asset allocation do not assure profit or protect against loss. Although stocks have historically outperformed bonds, they also have historically been more volatile. Investors should carefully consider their ability to invest during volatile periods in the market. With fixed income securities, such as bonds, interest rates and bond prices tend to move in opposite directions. When interest rates fall, bond prices typically rise, and conversely, when interest rates rise, bond prices typically fall. Bond and bond fund investors should carefully consider risks such as interest rate risk, credit risk, liquidity risk, and inflation risk before investing in a particular bond or bond fund.